And we'll go on part two, and we're going to continue on. If you look in the natural parallels with the supernatural. There's a parallel there. If you can see in the natural, you can understand somewhat of the supernatural. You see the wars and all of that stuff going on all around the world. The world, the Bible says the earth groans and travails. Not many people see that. Not many Christians understand that. It says the earth groans and travails, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. That's me and you. It groans and travails, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. We prayed for Lisa, you know. Now she's had this on-current stuff and whatever the case might be, you know. And so this morning, praise God, she's going to live and not die. I don't care what the doctors think. I'm not against the doctors. But this God that I serve is a supernatural God. Praise God. I've seen him raise my mama off a deathbed. You can't convince me. I've seen him raise the neighbor over here, which I believed it before he did it. I've seen him get bedridden people that said they would never walk again, outrun me to the pulpit at her, laid hands on her. Don't tell me that this Bible don't work. I know. But even though I know, I can still let the times and the signs and all of that kill the faith, even though I see miracles. They seen miracles all through the wilderness. And then 10 spies were sent out when they got to Canaan land. And they came back, and 10 of them came back with, the Bible says, an evil report. I mean, after they had seen water out of a rock, they had seen clouds show up so they don't burn up in the... I mean, like us today, God spared some of us. Some of us would be dead. Some of us would be in prison. Some of us would be the no telling where we would be had God not been merciful to us and wonderful to us. And then he showed me in my own personal life signs, wonders, and miracles because I believed Mark 16:17 was mine. A lot of Christians don't even know what Mark 16:17 says. They don't even have a clue that Jesus said that for us. What does it say? It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They'll speak with new tongues. People talk, says that tongues is you won't cuss no more. I can say a cuss word anytime I want to. That's got nothing to do with natural. He said they'll speak with tongues, new tongues. That's talking about a supernatural language that's all through this Bible that a lot of the church fights against. Somebody told me one time that after I'd got filled with I was a non-believer in that. I believed and was taught that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in tongues was of the devil. And they had one scripture and built a doctrine to convince me. They didn't mean to, but they had that deep of understanding of it themselves. They had been taught. And so they said this when that which is perfect will come, that'll be done away with. That's talking about when Jesus shows up. He was already here. And so Teresa, she's not been churched by the church. And so she don't know nothing about that tongues is of the devil other than me. Somebody told her, said, now you got saved, now you need baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of praying in tongues. She told me that, and I said, that's of the devil. Well, you need tongues. Yeah, blah, 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 you can't understand it. Well, don't the Bible say, lean not to your own understanding? In all of our ways, that acknowledge him. Acknowledge that Bible. Not acknowledge the experience of folk. And I'm not judging and knocking nobody. And so I told her, I said, I ain't having nothing to do with that. I said, that's dumb. I said, why you need to speak in some kind of stupid language that you don't even understand? You don't understand it? What is God? He can't speak to us? That's what I've been taught, you know. So I'm preaching it to her, Johnny. And she says, well, she said, I read the Bible, and it says that I was saying in my understanding, and I was saying in the Spirit. I said, how do you sing in the Spirit? And I said, well, I don't know about that. She said, well, maybe you don't know everything. I'm going to believe God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, go ahead. You get the devil stuff. See, if I thought about it, I'm telling you this for a reason. Because the enemy, he wants us limited because we don't have knowledge or have received bad knowledge of the things of God. I mean, just like you could pull up here and be plumb broke and God say, go put $100 in Max glove box. And you're plumb broke. And I don't tell you nothing about it. You know what? It'll sit there. You'll still do without, although that $100 is laying in your glove box. But if I go in there and say, hey, man, I'll put something in your glove box, Mac would go out and, oh, he'd go to Jack's and everywhere else. He'd, you know, fill a car up, man. Boy, he can't fill it up for $100, but. You get the picture. And so she told the Lord, she had asked the Lord and asked the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, what we got to realize, we don't earn nothing from God. We don't earn salvation. We don't earn healing. We don't earn His favor. None of that is earned. The blood of Jesus that He taught about, that was sealed, He sealed it in His blood on the cross, the covenant that God had made to 1,000 generations and come and sealed it through Jesus for me and you to walk in the power of God that Jesus walked in. We walk in that same power. Hallelujah. And so we had an apostle. Well, I went to one of somebody that taught me that. I said, yeah. I said, there's an apostle coming to our church. You ought to come. Well, they died out too. I said, there ain't no apostles no more? No, they died out. When the apostle Paul and them died, they died out. I thought, man, well, what kind of man this is then? Well, I go down there, and I'm skeptical now. I'm like, he ain't no apostle, man. He's just some kind of preacher or something, you know. When Teresa's sitting there and she told God, she said, God, she said, I'm going to ask you this. He's personal to her. He's got to be personal to you, right? Not the opinion of everybody else. She couldn't listen to me. She wanted to know, God, if this is from you, then I want it. In spite of what Scotty's telling me. Because she'd got born again, Johnny. Now she's got him in there. Now something's drawing her to truth. Something is opening her up to this kingdom that I was shutting her out by my believing what people had told me, and they believed. And not bad people. These were good people that I know loved the Lord. I mean, I know preached to God. They preached salvation every week. They tried to get everybody saved every week. And so she's standing there during praise and worship, and she says, we'd never met this guy before. And so she tells God, she said, I'm going to ask you one more time for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you this because Mark 16:17 is mine and yours. And she said, I'm going to ask you one more time, Lord. She said, and I'm not going to ask you no more. I'm just going to, you know, leave it at, if you want me to have it, you'll give it. He wants it. It's not like that either. You got to receive it. So the guy gets up here and he starts off and he said, God has sent me here today. He said, because they, some of you, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to lay hands on you and you're going to receive. And I looked at her and I thought, I asked her, I said, did you talk to him? I'm serious. She told me, because she told me on the way to church, I'm going to ask God one more time. Well, he's personal to her. Somebody told me the other day, he said, well, you know, we're living together and everywhere we go, they preach about us living together. I said, what do you think God is setting up our doing? Come on, man. I said, everywhere you go, you're hearing about, you know, you need to get married and not live together because you're a Christian, and you think that is man? I said, come on, man. God loves you. Think a little bit higher. Get out of that dumb thinking. I said, you know, you believe in God for your car payments and all that. Believe Him to get married. Come on, He can bring miracles for you. I mean, He can give you a big fancy wedding if you want it. And so I looked at her. She said, I don't even know him. I've not talked to him. See, some Christians won't do what I just done. They're afraid of offending somebody. I wouldn't offend them people for the world full of money. But you know what? If God's talking to you and you're ignorant, I need to let you know. That's God. You can turn the TV when He's talking to you. They're preaching something you don't like. Poop. Nah. He said, if we'll hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, right? All these blessings will come on us. Well, he goes up there and he says, who wants the Holy Ghost? He said, come on up. And Teresa pops up like popcorn. I thought, this is embarrassing. This is really embarrassing. You know? Well, I'm full of pride, Matt. It's like Naaman. God tells him, he goes and he wants this prophet, this man of God, to lay hands on him. He tells him, go to the river and dip seven times. He's mad. He gets out. What does he think he'd go? The river, you know, blah, blah, blah. So his servant said, hey, man, what does it matter? I mean, what if it works? You know what? And he did. He went and dipped seven times and got healed. But God ain't going to do it the way we think sometimes. God won't prosper you the way. There's not a pattern. There's not a seven steps to prosperity or seven steps to healing. There's believing. There's hearkening to the Lord when He's speaking to you and dealing with me and you about things, about forgiveness, about letting things go, holding grudges. See, last week I was under tremendous pressure from the enemy. All week long from the enemy. Wasn't no outside, and things were happening on the outside because Satan has people that serve him, and they have thoughts of doing things or calling you or saying things or right at the wrong time to call you up and add more pressure. See, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. That's what it means. That's exactly what that means. We are not ignorant of his devices. Well, she goes up. He didn't even lay hands on her. He's going to lay hands on her, and the power of God hit her, fell out right there in front of me, and she starts flopping like a fish. There ain't no way she can flop like that. She's flopping like a fish, man, and she's praying in tongues. And I'm like, oh, man, this is embarrassing, flopping around on the floor, because I'd been where we're all dignified. That old ship of Zion, I'm going to be on that first ship going out. Oh, amen, brother. Woo, yeah. But laying hands on people, I never seen it in that church. Preaching the way that I was hearing now, I didn't hear it. But I'm hearing it here. I'm hearing it here, and I'm taking my Bible, Mac, because I'm not going to believe these idiots in my thinking. They're not going to brainwash me. So I got my Bible. I figured, man, you don't stay with the Bible, and I'll prove them wrong. Well, they took me to the Bible, started taking me to Bible, and there it is in the Bible. And I'm like, well, I mean, they're radical. This one woman, she's gone on to be with the Lord now. Her husband had died, and she decided she'd never get married again, that she was married to Jesus, and she spent her time with Jesus. I mean, she stayed in the altar, and she was a prayer warrior, and she would prophesy things that were in my life, and she didn't know nothing about me. That woman lived an hour away from me. I didn't talk to her in church, but she's in the presence of God Almighty, and I don't even believe in women preachers. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. But God is bringing a woman, bringing my life story to me through a woman, proving to me that man makes a doctrine out of one scripture. A woman should be silent in the church. They don't even go look at the setting that it was in. So Paul was going, getting order in the church. They were sitting, women sat on one side, men sat on one side. They didn't tell me that. But dude, he was telling them, if you need to know anything, ask your husband at home. He was bringing order in the Corinthian church. And they make a doctrine out of that. When the first woman that went and spread the gospel first person was a woman. That Jesus said, go over there and tell Peter and them, I'll meet them. That was hurling a message. It's like us today. She's standing there one day, and I mean, I'm feeling the presence of the Lord. We don't feel the presence of the Lord like we need to in here. I mean, I've been in presence of the Lord. I mean, we've had it in spurts here, but most of the time it's because I went into a church that was full of believers and worshipers and people that were doing their best to get closer to God in their personal life and spending time with God and bringing the presence of God. They were bringing it. She stood up one time and she said, oh, Jesus is my lover. And I'd come out of the world. Now, a lover, to me, was not like she's thinking. And I told Teresa, I said, she is weirdo. Jesus is her. I said, did you hear that? Jesus is her lover. I understood later on, Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I love him. He loves me. He's my lover. See, I'm not thinking carnal sex and all that crap. This world's way of thinking. No, you have to think spiritual. Spiritually, he loves you. He died for you. He gave gifts to you in Ephesians. He gave gifts unto man for the edifying of the body till they all come to the unity of faith. He didn't give me gifts so I can tear down tongues. He didn't give me gifts so I can tear down if God wants to. He used a donkey mac in the Bible that spoke. He said if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. He's God. He said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, his praise will be perfected. Well, you know what? She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then later on, I thought, I seen it, you know, and I'm like, God, help me, Lord. This is really real. I mean, this stuff is real. So I asked the Lord. Lord asked me, I said, Lord, that's of the devil. He said, well, why didn't you down there at the Van Halen concert when you were stoned and doing cocaine and you felt goosebumps and chill bumps? He said, if it was of the devil, he said he was all in that place. You were yielded to him. Why did you not get filled then? If it was of the devil, everybody in there would have been full. Whole place is stoned. Shoot, we going to party. We ain't no singing old Ship of Zion down in there. We getting stoned, doing cocaine, and doing some acid, and all kind of taking trips and never leaving the building. Why would I want to think that God is not more powerful than drugs? Right? Give me a high that drugs can't give me. Put me on a highway that is a highway of power. I'm not trying to get on that highway, Johnny. I am on it. You are on it if you are in him. The Bible says your life is hid in God through Jesus Christ. Hid in him. We're in the power. We're not trying to get into power. We're not trying to get, Lisa's not trying to get victory. Victory's already hers, and blessed God, we done took authority over death, and you did, and I come in agreement with you, and we declare that she will live and not die, and declare the glory of God. Now, we're going to believe that report because we know that long, satisfied life has he give her, and he will show her his salvation. Somebody asked me one time, why did they die? Well, what if they die and you do that? Well, good. That's not going to stop me from the next one. I asked my pastor one time, I said, Pastor, because I'm going to the jails, then I'm going to the hospitals. I started to the nursing homes with these old people that they need the word. They need vision. They need it. I'm going to the nursing homes and I go ask him and I'm like, well, God, man, they're 80s and 90s. And Bradley said, what's that got to do with it? I said, well, I mean, why am I going to preach to them? You can outrun a lot of chariots like I do. He said, you preach that Bible to them. He said, what are you thinking? He said, you preach it. Whatever God tells you, you preach it. So I'm going in there, glory to God, and I'm telling them, glory to God, you'll do exploits in the name of Jesus. Greater's he that's in you, rise up in the name of Jesus. Old age don't bother God at all, hallelujah. He's ancient. Man, I mean, he's ancient. Oh, but he ain't changing. In the hospitals, I went to the hospitals. They didn't like me because I wasn't Baptist over in Georgia over there. But they made cassette tapes of the teachings. This was at church when I preached. And somebody liked it. So they sent it over to Georgia to the Baptist Association over there. Well, one of the guys called me up. You Mr. Weston? Oh, yeah, I'm him. And he said, well, we want you to come over here and preach to us. And I said, well, I don't know about all that, man. I'll get you know. They sent a limousine. I rode a limousine from Alabama, man. This was Jesus going in. They sent a limousine. And I'm worried. I'm concerned all the way over because now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I know that I'm not going to offend them. I'm not going to get up and preach and preach on tongues unless God just tells me to do it. I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't do that. And so I'm praying in tongues in the limousine, and I'm telling God, please don't make me talk about tongues, Lord. Please, you know, don't make me talk about tongues, Lord. Help me not to pray in tongues, Lord. While I'm there, you know. Well, he did. He helped me all the way. Well, I'm in there. Well, I didn't know that I wasn't going to preach to the churches, Mac. They won't let you in. But they brought all the elders of about 10 or 12 churches. The elders, the deacons, the leaders, and that's all I got. I'm like, oh, my God. All of these are the leaders. Well, I got to preach here to them before they're going to let me in the church. That's a good thing. I do that here. You want to watch a movie here? I read it and watch it, and nothing personal. I watch over this place. Hallelujah. It's sacred. Sacred to me. Your life is more important to me than it is mine. No greater love than a man lay down his life. I will sacrifice for this church. I do sacrifice for the church. It is my reasonable service. I'm serving Jesus. That is your call. Whatever your calling is, it is your reasonable service. And the sacrifices you made are not unnoticed and kept record of by the Lord. And he rewards accordingly to the obedience of every one of us. Well, they cooked spaghetti supper and all of that stuff. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, I want you to preach Mark 16:17 in this meeting. I thought, God, they don't believe in this stuff, Lord. It died out. He said, don't fear man. He said, don't fear what man thinks. He said, I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to anoint their ears to hear. I'm going to anoint their hearts to understand and receive. He said, they love me. I said, yes, sir. So I got up there, praise God, and I said, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark 16:17. Let's see what Jesus said is ours. And I started that sermon. Praise God. And when I got done, well, see, I'd already lay hands on people and raised them. I'd already raised some from the dead. God let me lay hands on people in a coma that they fixing to unplug, and that's going to be the end of it. They done made funeral arrangements in some of the folk that I have had the privilege of letting God through me raise them. So at that point, early on in my life, I'd already seen some miracles. I'd already seen, and he demonstrated through the signs, wonders, and miracles. These signs follow those that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. I'm not afraid of poison. I done drank poison before and whipped it with the faith, with the word. I didn't drink poison on purpose. I ate poison plums. I stole some plums. People wasn't there, and I really like green plums, so I eat their plums without asking. They wasn't there, and I was going to tell them the next day and pay them for them if that's the case. And they were poisoned very good. If you ain't never had food, poison to that. You think food poison painful? Man, it'll bow you up, and you think, man, if I had a gun, I'd get out of this pain. I mean, it is painful. Well, anyways, I'm there, and I preached that, and I mean, it so fired that whole Baptist, those leaders up, it so fired them up. I mean, they just got me by the arm, man, and I mean, they took me, and I'm like, where are we going? Where are we going? Oh, glory to God, we're going to get some people healed today in the hospital. We're going to the hospital. We ain't heard this kind of preaching ever. They put me in a van back and took me to the hospital, and I mean, we're going from room to room, and these people are laying hands. These people are laying hands, and people's getting healed. And about nearly midnight, Mac, I told him, I said, hey, y'all stay here all night. I got to go back to Alabama. Y'all got to take me back to the limo, man. Y'all come on back over here and wipe this hospital out. Y'all just take me home. Y'all got the power. Y'all doing it. Jesus said it. Y'all took it. Now you got it. Don't get it out. So going to the hospitals, I mean, you see people on ventilators and different things, man, and you look at it and you're like, oh, I mean, you can't look at that stuff. Had a guy go into this church, and they was over in Texas over there, and the storm had come through and blowed their whole house, blowed everything away. They just had a few clothes is all they had, and FEMA moved them across the street over here, and they were devout Baptists. I'm not a devout faith way Christians. I'm not a devout Methodist. We shouldn't be devout, none of that. We should be devout to the Word and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. No matter where we're at, we need to be devout about that, not about denomination. And if I believe something is contrary to that Bible, confront me. Just confront me. Say, well, the Bible says that. You know, man, and you know, and if I'm right, I'll say, well, bless God, I'm going to the Lord with this. You know, I have believed wrong, Mac. I have believed wrong a lot of times and went to the Lord, and the Lord helped me to get it straightened out, you know. Just because I don't see, somebody don't see something, don't mean there's no revelation there. Things are revealed by the Spirit to us. But it'll go in line and be right in line with that Bible. Well, we're living in a time now when I believe COVID come on the scene. That was by the enemy, whether you realize it or you don't. China's not our friend. China hates us. They hate the ground we walk on. They would like to buy up them, and the enemy would like to buy all of our property up and own most of us over here. And it was started out doing that way, and we got put a stop to that. Because the more that the ungodly owns, the more power they have. The more the righteous are in authority and own, the more God can reign. Well, anyways, you know, they wanted me to come back to their church. They're going to let me in all their churches. But I'm working a full-time job, man. I mean, I can't go over there every week. You know. But see, it wasn't about that. God wanted them to see what Jesus said. They've all read it. They're in church. But the anointing came on the reading of the gospel. It came on the Word of God and brought it to power, just like it did with Peter when Jesus said, come. It brought it real to them. Now they're going and emptying the hospital. So I asked my pastor one time, I said, when do I give up on people? When they're on ventilators? You know, when do I give up? He said, when they're not breathing. He said, you believe? He said, you believe? He said, it's not you doing the works, it's God doing it. I said, okay. So, but God, I mean, they can do you going, I'll lay hands on them. I'm out of that in the name of Jesus. I mean, I've had preacher after preacher. What if they don't? It's going to make you look bad. I said, I can't look bad. I said, I'm not a healer. I said, all I'm doing is like people that work for me, going, doing what he says. I'm just representing the one that is raising these people from the dead. See, the pressure is on. I told Travis, I said, I come and I preach that Sunday, that Wednesday night service. I said, when I preached that service, son, I said, all the hell had to back off. All of that pressure was gone. When I come up here and preach that sermon Wednesday night. If I see you going through warfare, I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong, brother? What's wrong, sister? No, I know you're in a warfare. We standing with you, man. Keep on trucking. Keep on, stay on the front line. Stay up there. Stay fasting and praying. Go preach just like you ain't under no pressure. Go walk just like ain't nothing happening in your marriage. Go talk about Jesus when everything's hell is all around you and pressure on every side and everybody giving you bad reports. You keep walking like you got the victory because you do. See, I've learned never let Satan see me sweat. How's he see me sweat? Go to complaining and griping and how bad it is and how bad I feel and how bad it is in the family. He's seeing you sweat now. And he's going to turn that fire up a little bit more. He's going to cause somebody to have a little road rage and get you on bitter and get you on worried. See, we're not supposed to worry about our life, our future, our kids, our finances. We're to cast that stuff over on the Lord. And we're to believe him to be a blessing in this planet right here, that he'll supply all of our needs above what we can think or ask because the power of God's working in us. You might see me under pressure, but you ain't going to see me quit. Nobody. Long as I hang on to Jesus, there ain't no force of hell that can stop you. They ain't no church can stop you. There ain't nothing that can stop you. Why? Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I seen Johnny look like a white boy one time. He's going through hell in his marriage, I think, going through some things. I never did want to know. I don't try to find out details. All I know is you are, and I'm going to stand with you. That's good enough. Less I know, better off I am. Some Christians, what's wrong? What's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with y'all? Why you need to know all that? Come in one time, and I thought, man, I need to bring a garage door rope where he can tie his britches up. They're about to come off, man. I mean, two of Johnny could be moving in them. Well, you know what he's doing? He's going through all that, and I never seen him sweat it. I seen him, but I knew he was fasting and praying. He's losing weight. He's turning white. He's a Mexican. I guess he is. He's American to Mexican. But you know what? I thought that's what a warrior does. I thought that's what somebody that ain't going to quit does. When things starts getting hard, they don't go to backing off of God. They don't go to backing away from church and backing away from the Bible and backing away from their confession. They still get up and say, we're not standing here and looking. We're looking from a place of victory now. See, that's why it's important that we're in faith, that we stay in faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the evidence, the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of the things you're hoping for. Healing, finances, closer to Jesus, being a witness. I mean, there's people in this city right here that I've bid to come to church for 23, longer than that. And every time I see them, I drove by one the other day, I won't call her name, standing out there, and I rolled my window down. And I said, I'm looking for you. She says, you are, ain't you? She knows what I'm talking about, church. I said, I'll see you soon. When I wanted to say, why don't you just go to hell? We've been down here all these years, man, and we've tried to get you to, see, you can't get bitter like that. We can't let this stuff get to us, see, because there'll be one day God will be dealing with them, and they might be done hit rock bottom. They might be in God dealing with their heart, and all of a sudden we say, we're waiting on you, and they're like, they really love me, Lord, they really care. You come to church, Matt. But I'm not going to let that stop me from being a witness. I don't care. They rejected Jesus, and he still loved them. They rejected him and he didn't quit. They sought to kill him and he just disappeared and moved somewhere else. Why? Because he was walking in the same power me and you are walking in. We have the victory. We're not looking for victory. We're waiting on it to happen. We're standing and waiting on the victory to happen. It's going to happen. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Do you know that's what he told them? He told them over in Numbers when he took them out and they told Moses, they said, you brought us out here to die, man. We was better off down there serving the Egyptians, you know. He said, now you brought us out here to die. He said, stand still. He said, just stand still and see the salvation of God. God's going to fight the battle for us. God's going to fight for you. Don't murmur. Don't complain. God's going to fight the battle for you. I learned a whole life lesson in Numbers reading it. And God told me, that's a picture of your life, son. You were in sin, serving Satan in bondage, just like they was down there in Egypt. He said, I sent Moses. He said, I sent Jesus to you. He said, I sent Moses, which was a type of Jesus, a type of deliverer. Did you know Moses was a murderer? And Moses couldn't live where he had been raised. He was raised in a royal family. And he'd went and killed a guy. And he's on the run. He's a fugitive. He's running. And they're looking for him. They're looking for Moses because if they find Moses, they're going to kill him. He's running. He's on the backside of the desert out there. And all of a sudden, a bush starts burning. And he looks, and the bush is consumed with fire. But the bush is not burning up. And so the Bible says he turned aside to see. And when God saw him turned aside to see, he told Moses, he said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And then he tells Moses, he said, I hear the cries. See, God hears lost people out here. He sees their hurts. He sees their self-inflicted destruction with drugs, like a lot of them we know. He sees their self-inflicted destruction. He sees their self-inflicted choices that is bringing them to nowhere, to nothing, to nobody. He's seen us down there when we were, you should have been killed under the car from what I can hear. But he sees people's pain. He sees their broken marriages. He sees their broken families Well, after I got born again, I began to go to the Bible, and it would say, "Love one another." It would say, "Take care of your mother and father, love, forgive, and all of that." So I started taking that in my life. Here's this Jesus showed up and began to challenge the things that the world had planted in me of hatred and anger and unforgiveness. And I mean, I didn't care how big you were. You can have a smart mouth, and I'll just go get my daddy's gun, and I'll put it in your mouth. You think you're big? I mean, my dad taught me, bigger they are, harder they fall. That's dumb. I would just had that kind of thinking, you know. But see, all of that, Satan meant for me to shoot somebody. Satan wanted me to kill somebody. I would have been in prison. He wanted me to sell drugs. He told me, you know, you don't have to buy no marijuana. Start selling drugs. Cut out your marijuana. I was $45 a week then for good stuff. I wouldn't even buy homegrown. If it wasn't good marijuana, I ain't buying it. I'd drive to Florida. I drove to Florida to get marijuana because you couldn't get none around here. Take a road trip. I ain't going on vacation. I'm going to get stoned. You know? But see, God seen all that. And then God sent Jesus. He sent him over. And then I got born again. Then he begins to bring all these issues up in church and in different places of my life where I was at. The anger and not get mad at people and all of that stuff. He began to get Egypt out of me. He began to take the way the world had trained me and my own thinking and the things that were before me was bringing destruction and sadness and unfulfilled life. He began to deal with me and I had begin to have to yield. Why? Because because I'm in the wilderness, Johnny. I've come out of Egypt. I've come across the Red Sea. Now I'm in this waiting till I get to God's promises. I'm looking for the promises, but I'm walking. And he began to deal with them in the wilderness. And I saw a whole life, my whole life, really flash before me in that story. He said, see, he said, I was teaching them to trust me for their water, to trust me for their food, to trust me for their shield, so they won't be in the fire by night. He said, I was teaching them to lean on me, that when they got to Canaan land, they were giants in there, see. They hadn't got there yet. He's training us. Come on, somebody. I mean, he's helping us so we don't have no road rage, so we don't shoot birds no more. I mean, these things are not because God is just trying to mess with our life. God is building us one brick at a time, one line upon line, precept here a little, there a little, from faith to faith and from glory to glory. That's what he's doing. But you know what? We can stay down there. We can stay down there when he says, he rained manna out and he said, gather up what you need. Don't gather it no more. They did and it rotted. Caused them trouble. Why? Because they were trying still to preserve themselves. And God was showing them daily. That's why he told them, he said, I daily load you up with benefits, even the God of your salvation. He was talking to them. And he's talking to us today. I know the world's dark. I know that people don't want to go to church no more, but it ain't going to discourage me. I'm not gonna, I know what the Bible says. He said there'll come a time when men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They'll put theirself before God. They'll put pleasures before God. They'll put work before God. They'll put ball games before God. They'll put motorcycles. They'll put pontoons. They'll put boats because they feel like they need some relief. It's clear to me that the Scripture says they will be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. The Bible says in the last days there will come a great falling away from faith. When they fall away from faith, they're going to fall away from church. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. That is why all my Christian life, praise God, I would quit jobs to go to church. I mean, I've turned down jobs that I could have made $3,000 or $4,000, but I would have had to put church off. I'm telling you the honest truth, that I would not let anything come in my way of going to church because I read Hebrews over there where he told him, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are. And then over there in Corinthians, the great communion that he was talking about, there's a twofold meaning in there. He said there's some weak and sick and die early because they won't acknowledge church. They won't acknowledge the body. Then you had the doctrine come to try to counter that through the church that said, we are the church. And then I fought that demon for a while. That lying demon spirit, they ain't one person, the church. The Bible, if you look at the word church up in the Bible, it's not this building right here. It says the called out, called together, an assembly. That's what the church is. Called out of my living room, called out of the world, called out to not do my thing on the Lord's day. Called out, called together. I've missed a Sunday night service one time. And I felt good till 8:15, Johnny. We got out at 8:15 just about every, unless God's moving. At 8:15, it's like the Spirit of the Lord left me. I got up and I thought, what? Did you turn that ungodly TV on or something? I didn't know what happened. I ain't done nothing. I looked at the clock and I said, I know what it is. What is it? What happened? I said, church service is over. I said, I could have went to church tonight. And I laid out. I need to rest. I got to go to work at 5 o'clock. I know all the pressures of all of this. Work from 5 to 5, toting sheetrock. Come in. Don't even got time to eat supper. Barely can make it to church and eat at 10. I understand. But you know what, praise God? That's why today, you know, people that fight for the right. That's why I fought for my right to go to church. I fought for my right to love my wife as Christ so loved the church, in spite of her or anybody else. I've had people tell me I wouldn't put up with her and tolerate her, and they probably couldn't, Mac. I'm anointed for her. You're anointed for your mate. You're anointed for your husband. You're anointed. You're anointed for people. Some people can't get along with people because they can't get along with God. Once I get along with God, I can adjust with people because I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, and it's not of the flesh. I mean, my grandkids, they're just like, Papa, are we going home with you today? You know why they mad? Because they done learned that Women's Day, Grandma's not there. And so Grandma don't let them come over on Sunday. We get them Wednesday, you know, because we go and, you know, we might eat and take a nap, listen, preach, and all that. So now they know Grandma's gone. And I said, well, I don't know about all of it. Please, Papa, listen. I'm sleepy. Aubrey. I'm sleepy. Why? She knows I take a nap after church. I'm sleepy, Papa. I'll tape Aiden's mouth up, Papa. I will tape it up. See, I'm anointed for them. I'm anointed for them grandkids. Now, you know, I mean, Teresa is too. I mean, she disposes them in a different way, you know. But I mean, you know, and so I'm like, oh, man. And I thought, man, these kids will never forget this stuff. They will never forget they went to Papa's. They cook cookies with Papa. Or they whatever we doing. I ain't telling y'all nothing else. I told her, I said, well, I guess y'all can. I said, but you know what's going to happen. Well, I've been in a battle all week, Johnny. I really would, you know, wouldn't mind having a Sunday off. See, y'all facing some of this stuff. I'm not going to let life cause me not to enjoy my family or my friends or y'all. I'm not going to go through and let life make me bitter where I can't fellowship with y'all guys, where I can't listen to y'all's story, where we can't, you know what I'm saying? Because when you're not in a right spirit, you'll feel irritated. You just don't want around nobody. You just be careful when you feel like you just need to be alone. No, you don't need to be alone. You need to be connected. You need to change. I need to change. Hallelujah. And this word is what is doing in his spirit. But he's building you for Canaan land. See, when they got to Canaan land, Moses sent them in. And I can just hear reports today, just like we got. They put her on a ventilator. They're saying she's not going to make it. That's a report. It made me want to feel sad. It made me want to feel worried. It made me want to feel lonely. I love her family. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, but I got to preach. I got to cast this off. I got to quit thinking about this. I got to go minister to the body. I got to go do what you've told me to do this morning, Lord. Not by feelings and emotion, not by the report. You see, they go in. And God knew the Hittites and Jebusites and all of themites. They were strong people. They were giants. I mean, they had built houses. That's why he told them, you're going to live in houses you didn't build. They didn't know the houses are coming up. He's just trying to train them. He told them, and they'd lost sight of the promises. Many of God's people today, because they're sick and the doctors can't help them, lose sight, have lost sight of the promises of God. I mean, finances has hit them in major ways, and they used to have confidence and all of that. And because of the report they got in the mail or whatever, they've lost their confidence in God. Now everything is a giant to them. When they get there, they said, yeah, it's just like God said, man. I mean, there's strong houses. They built houses and fortified. They're not living in tents. They got houses in there. They got wells that God promised them. Y'all were going to go in and drink out of them wells you didn't dig. But you know what? Just a few entered in. they start giving the report. Well, we're got grasshoppers. Ain't nothing. I mean, just like a report today. My kid's going to school, and I'm telling you right now, it's them teachers, it's them principals, it's them No, man, it ain't. Teresa told me one time, she said, listen, Travis's halo ain't on straight all the time. And I looked at her and I said, he's a good kid, man. We've raised him in church. She said, he's the ringleader. It was a revelation to me, Johnny, that my boy was the one that was making all the trouble. Because it's the teachers to him. It's them teachers. It's them stupid kids. It's the blah, blah, blah. Aubrey, same thing. It's them kids in there, Papa. That's why I can't concentrate. I'm like, no, it ain't, Aubrey. Now I'm up on it because I raised Travis. Now she's lying to me. Aiden, he forgets how to be a good boy in school. That's all of a sudden. I said, what happened to you? Oh, well, Papa, I forgot. I said, no, you did not forget. I said, you didn't forget how to be a good boy. You're a good boy, we tell him. You are a good boy, and that good boy is going to come out in school. You're a good boy, we're driving him. You're a good boy. Why? Because we're telling him all the way through the wilderness, you can make it. You, when you get to camp, you're a good boy. We're not going to tell him you're a bad boy. And I mean, you got to correct him, but then come back with that. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. He told me the other day, yesterday he's helping me around the swimming pool, and I'm going to close with this. Caleb and Joshua went in. Caleb and Joshua saw what the other 10 saw. They saw, but they saw the promises. They didn't see the occupants. They said, God said, Caleb stilled the people, and he said, let's go up right now. Let's take Albert's healing right now, Lisa's. Let's take your finances right now. Take your healing right now. Don't you let what's in the front of you cause you to say God can't move, that he's not big enough. That God, that the promises are in him, yes and amen. The Bible says that he never sleeps in slumber. God is not a man that we can't be touched because of our infirmities down here. So they went in. And you know what? Up to this far in my life, praise God, and it's a fight sometimes for you to have the victory that you know is already yours, praise God. But I'm telling you, you looking at one before you, I'm not a perfect man, and I've never been a perfect man. And I got still some things that God's working on me, my attitudes and different things and things in my life, eating. I mean, he deals with me about eating, and I don't want to not eat what I want, you know. So, but you know what, praise God, everything that I've fought for, I am in it. I'm telling you. And God is a good God, and he's going to bring you. See, they had to go in and take down them enemies. Sometimes there's enemies that standing between you and your promise. They don't have your promise. That's why David went to war, and they went in, and they took his whole family. They took everybody and everything. I mean, it's like you go to church, man, leave your family at home. You know, when you come back or go to work, leave your family at home, come back and somebody done took them. Took everything you got. That's what happened. They even wanted to stone David. They thought about killing him. You know, killing David because they come in. But you know, he went and inquired of the Lord, David did. And he asked in the Lord, I can just imagine, what do I do about this, God? He said, get up and pursue them. He said, and you will find them, and you will recover all. And but God, they got up, they found them, and they recovered all and all of their stuff. That's our God today. That's our God today. Let's bow our heads. Father.